So John Markoff is in the house, technology reporter for the New York Times. And why? Why, you say, do we have John Markoff here?
So you mean this map shows
everyone?
Everyone?
Everyone.
Where they are.
What they're doing.
Every minute
of every day.
Brilliant.
That's from Harry Potter, but of course we don't have to go to Harry Potter to experience the idea of interactive maps that actually show where you and all of your friends are, or your enemies for that matter, are at any given moment of the day, courtesy of global positioning system technology and software you can load onto your iPhone or your BlackBerry. You can actually get a network of friends together and through iconography, just sort of right there on a map, see where they are at any given moment. John Markoff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Good to be here.
What are the social implications of this? I loaded it last night. I actually can see where my wife is in the house right now on my iPhone if I want to. It seems like a lovely little diversion, but there's a sinister quality to it, it seems.
Well, of course. And we've been down that road with all the movies we've been watching for decades. I think it's different from yours and my generation, John, and the people who are in their 20s and 30s who are already living pretty much transparently on Facebook and MySpace, and this is a pretty small step for some people.
So the sinister quality is actually a form of naivete on the part of people of my age, essentially.
No, I think that it's a cultural thing. I mean, we're creeped out by it, but I think there is a generation of people who just lives this way.
Well, among that generation who lives this way is people who we are asking to send stories, 877-8-MY-TAKE and mytake@thetakeaway.org, to tell us their experience with GPS and how the technology could be used in a positive way for them. Listen to this.
Hi, this is Peter calling from Waltham, Massachusetts. In our case, we do business applications for sales and field service companies that use sort of souped-up PDAs that already have a GPS in them or another device in their vehicle that people are driving. The companies get to know where they are and can better plan routes, more efficiently service customers, and save money at the same time, which is a good thing because it means that more people can be employed and keep their jobs.
Peter, our listener, makes a great point that FedEx and UPS and all sorts of freight delivery services have been using this technology for years. It's simply making its way into the consumer sector.
Yeah. That was one of the things that I noticed in the last couple of weeks since I've been here in New York and I've been living with my iPhone and it's been helping me get around the subways is that it changes everything. And I began to think about it in terms of history. And if you remember, it was the graphical user interface and that sort of WIMP interface, the sort of metaphor of the computer desktop that made the personal computer accessible to masses. And it occurs to me that the map is becoming the same kind of metaphor. It's a very accessible way that makes this device that's a computer in the palm of your hand tremendously useful. And in a way, I mean, neurologists have for a long time understood that devices become extensions of our minds. The blind man and the cane is probably the best example. I think the same thing is happening with the smartphone, cell phone.
So it's a prosthetic. The idea, it's a social prosthetic.
Totally.
That's an interesting idea. Now, it requires, though, and Delgen and I were talking about this earlier on the program, it requires the maintenance of a pretty sophisticated infrastructure. The global positioning system, satellite system in space is a lot of satellites. It's a lot of infrastructure. I mean, I wonder if, you know, if the economy goes even more south than it is now, if we're going to end up like the movie Brazil, where the satellites have fallen out of the sky and they are falling out of the sky.
That's right.
Can we maintain this infrastructure to the extent that society is going to want these devices and applications?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about the infrastructure being there, and it becomes denser and denser. I mean, it's not just GPSs. They can find out where you are simply by triangulating either from the cell towers or from just the millions of Wi-Fi hotspots are all around us. They can get very precise locations. So take that as a given.
All right. When you could carry on your iPod, 80 gigs of memory. It was said by some sociologists and psychologists that you could actually hold in your hand, in your pocket, the amount of data that is equivalent to all the photographs that you could take in a lifetime based on the entire history of photography. Once you did that, you suddenly had this archive of your entire life. Now, of course, you can take 3 times, 10 times, 100 times those photos and have all of your albums and everything with you, that there were profound social implications of crossing that threshold. Do you think this social networking, knowing where people are on a real-time basis, crosses another such threshold?
Well, I think that we will come to assume that that's just the air we breathe. I mean, not you and I, maybe, but the people who are sort of comfortable with this will take it for granted that they will look at their phone and they'll notice that their college roommate that they haven't seen for 2 years is having dinner you know,
but
two doors
what
away.
What about those folks who aren't comfortable with it and it isn't, like, you know, it's not the air that they breathe? I mean, how would you set their concerns at ease?
Well, can you opt out? Is it easy to opt out?
I mean, you turn your phone off. It's not a big deal. When you turn your phone off, your network ceases to know where you are. So on that level, it is possible to disappear. The point is that most people don't.
Don't opt out, right?
And the other point is we began worrying about Big Brother. But now the issue that's interesting to me is Little Brother, and not one Little Brother, but the millions of Little Brothers that are following our trail of cookies. They used to follow it through cyberspace, and now we're leaving the same trail of cookies through geographic space.
You know what this does totally ruin, though? The television series 24. You know, all those scenes where, you know, get a lock, 35 more seconds, we can triangulate. Now it's just, people will look at that in 20 years and go, why didn't he just pull out his cell phone? Well, what an idiot. What's wrong with Jack?
If you had access to the information.
Right.
In theory, I'm supposed to control that, not you.
Does the NSA look at all of this, and can they, without a subpoena, basically figure out what I'm buying, where I'm doing it, and basically send that information to the cops?
Well, remember, the NSA is prohibited by law at looking at what we do. So.
That's a yes, John. Excuse me, I interrupted. It's a hard question.
It's clear that they have access to that data. That's actually a really good question. So this works one way in a democracy, and it's all good and sort of mellow. What happens if we're not in a democracy? The technology's there, and you know, if you look at Europe in World War II, one thing the Nazis did is they took advantage of the phone registers. So we've created a phone register on steroids, and if we have a different form of government, the technology might be used in a very different way.
Well, interesting, sobering thoughts about exciting technology as we proceed through this century. John Markoff, technology reporter for The New York Times, thanks so much for coming in. That was fascinating.
Thanks.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.